Hey now, Bachelor PhD coming at you. It was sunny here in Los Angeles. It's now clouded over. Caitlin, is it snowing in Maryland?
No. Did you think it was?
I don't know. I'm just guessing.
No, I mean, it was kind of warm yesterday, and then it got really cold in the evening. And now it's kind of cold again, but I don't know. It's weird. My weather app says it's 60 degrees outside right now, which is much warmer than the past few days.
Yeah. Speaking of ice cold, you know who was ice cold last night is Joey to Maria.
So you mean when she was saying she might
not ready
leave?
To go there yet.
What's cooler than being cool? Ice cold.
I'm not ready there. I'm not there yet, Craig.
Well,
I can't.
She's cold.
I think
no
there's a lot there,
Joey.
And that's kind of the least.
He treated her poorly, and I'm not there for
that. Well,
that
part's good. Well, the fact that we knew the top three in week two, I don't know. This is that I know people don't like Zach, but Zach was open and considering the women, and I mean, I had no idea in week two that it was going to be between Gabby and Katie. But we knew
I was about to make a
Joey
joke, considering having sex with one woman and then dumping her.
Yeah, well, you know, the way it turned out, I felt like it unfolded naturally, though. It did unfold, like, organically.
It was just such an interesting, and I know we talked about this so much last season, but yeah, the fantasy suites week in which he declares he won't have sex with anyone and then, like, whoops, slip up, has sex with one person, and it's not the person he ends up proposing to. It was, like, such a bizarre turn of events. It's so in my mind that, like, Katie and Gabby are apparently very close friends because I feel like she was obviously so hurt by that it would be really hard to, even if you like Katie so much as a friend, you know what I mean, to be like, do you just ask her to never mention her fiancé when you hang out or something, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, okay, so here's the big dilemma, though. Bachelors that go into being the bachelor with their whole heart, right, with their just actual openness to every possibility, get shit on so much by Bachelor Nation because it's kind of like they're offering themselves up as the shit on me. I am the man they let themselves be that person. So Bachelor Nation, the women in Bachelor Nation tend to like punching bag them, right? Tend to unload on them everything they've ever felt for any other man.
Yes, that's so, the Craig theory of Bachelor Nation.
Oh, really? Have I just defined it? I never heard you say that. Anyway, so that's true, Craig. Actually, you have said that in one way or another. But here, Joey's top three was very predictable. And that, to me, seems inorganic.
Well, I thought
and
there
that's
was a little
what
bit of
is making
drama
this
last night because I thought he was going to maybe
well,
cut
sure. We can
Maria.
Talk about that part.
Well, wait. Do we
I'm,
know
I'm talking about the overall
who his
thing.
Top three
he's,
is?
He has to have sex with her. Huh?
Do we know who his top three is for sure?
I mean, I don't know what you mean by for sure. I am pretty for sure, though, that Rachel's not going to make it past next week. unless there's some extenuating circumstance where he, like, you know, they cut themselves, they have a medical emergency.
Maria's dad freaks out.
Oh, Maria's dad is going to be interesting TV.
Right.
I am excited to see the Sprinkle CEO.
Yeah.
But I do think that the sex pics were
Maria shot herself in the foot a little bit because I think he might cut her next week because I think he's a little bit less sure of her or sure of his choice in her.
Well, she went all in with the manic pixie
dream
girl.
With her, though. Wait a minute. He wants to have sex with her. Now, Craig, would you put up with a little bit of back and forth to, like, cut them right after the fantasy suite? I think
Well, she exemplified the manic in Manic Pixie Dream Girl last night. So you have to be kind of into that.
I do want to get into that. with the conversations, though. He is not into that in theory, but he will do it for her because of the sex.
Right? Yeah, I think he doesn't.
There's no way around
that. He doesn't like the concept of somebody being so, like, indecisive and all over the place as Maria was. But I think he's also, like, very attracted to her, and they have, like, they have good flirty banter and stuff, you know? Like, they have a vibe there that I think he obviously really likes, but it was, I think she did herself no favors with the trying to be like, maybe I'll leave. No, I am staying. I'm not going to kiss you. Yes, I am.
Yeah, that was a little strange.
Well, I would love to take that piece by piece. If you guys want to go there, we can just start there, because I have it here. It was important enough. First off, it's the only thing that happened last night that was not predicted, right?
Is there anything else interesting happen? I mean, I guess if we want to talk about the other dates before this, he takes Daisy on a second one-on-one, and it's beautiful. Wow, Jasper's so pretty. I was like watching this being
Wait a minute.
Hold on.
I'm so glad brought this up, because this was an extra commercial for this place I've never heard of.
Now,
many people do they actually get to go to these unheard of places?
Well, the thing is, Alberta is a special province, yes, because there's so much oil shale. They tear up the topsoil of the entire province, but it creates kind of a lot of wealth. So Calgary and Edmonton are very wealthy cities. Mm-hmm. And so, like, this is like a vacation land for the...
Well, this is like the Canadian Rockies is where they are, right? This is like a well-known, very naturally beautiful spot. It's kind of like, you know, people in the U.S. who like to go to Colorado. This is kind of a similar place, I would say, except this has been on my list of places I want to go to for a while. Jasper's not the top one for me. I would say in the Rockies, the place I want to go to the most is Lake Louise, because in the winter, the lake freezes over and you can figure skate on it.
Oh, okay. So. And
I
was going to tweet, you better get to Jasper soon before they tear it up for oil shale, but I didn't think anyone would get it.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to ever. It also is a national park for them, so they can't do anything in that area.
That can change.
That can change, but I doubt it will, because it's so popular amongst, like, Canadians, but also international visitors go there for sure.
Sure.
Well, you know that Alberta is like MAGA country for Canada.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just
Still, the mountains are very pretty, though.
Okay. Yeah. I'm just saying that as a point of reference. Now
it is also the province where they have like Canadian cowboys and stuff like that. The Calgary Stampede or whatever that is. Like, yeah, so it's an interesting area of Canada, but I had been looking at the Rockies for a while. It's like a place I want to someday visit because it's just so pretty, you know?
Right.
What do these, but my, okay, so... They obviously leaned very heavy into this commercial, though. And they got a sponsorship from, like, Visit Canada, you know, Film Canada or whatever.
It was, like, the mountains. And then when they're riding the horses around in the scenery, I was like, oh, this is so pretty.
Yeah.
Oh, see, that's not my... There are very few places they've gone to where I've been like, I'd like to go there. Because it's just, they tend to go to places that are not my thing. Now, I'm not talking about specifically this place. How many people do they actually get? Like, I know this is a commercial. I know they make people Google it. They make people want to go there. But how many, like, you know, step off the airplane people and arrive there because of the Bachelor do you think this actually pulls in?
Well, I think
it
has to do with SEO, because it's like, If more people are Googling it and more people are writing posts about the episode and linking to it, then that raises the Google search results for things like beautiful vacation spot. So it's like trickles down, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, I think a lot of people these spots and think like, oh, that's so pretty. But does that mean they actually go there? I think it's probably a fairly low conversion rate in that sense, because like I think everywhere that they visited this season is a place that is like, oh, that's pretty, that's an interesting spot, you know.
Right.
Like, I've been to Montreal a ton of times, and I love it. So I was like, oh, going to Montreal is always exciting for me when a TV show is there. But also, like, Malta and, like, Andalusia, Spain is like, oh, these are, like, nice places, you know? But I think the biggest example of this that people always talk about is, like, Peter's season going to Cleveland and how funny it was that it was like, you're starting your world tour in Cleveland, Ohio. But I know Craig and I are both longtime defenders of Cleveland being actually cool.
Yeah, I know you guys are.
Yes, because we met. We met outside of Cleveland, yeah.
Yeah, and I, like, I think it was the second time I'd been to Cleveland was the time we met. And I remember the first time actually being pretty impressed with it.
Yeah.
Because I'd never been to Ohio before, and I was going to a conference there, and was just like, I know nothing about this place except this conference in there. And then I was like, oh, there's, like, a pretty good food scene. There's some interesting history. You know, like, oh, like, this is kind of cool. This is cooler than I thought it was going to be. So I wonder if that's the thing they try to do with the sponsored ones, is be like, oh, I'd either never heard of this place and now I am aware of it, or I'd heard of it but, like, didn't really know anything about it, but now it's on my list as, like, oh, that's a nice place. Yeah. Maybe someday.
I mean, the return on investment's really high, because, like, how much do they really need to invest in the Bachelor to get them to come there? Like,
right,
free meals,
no.
Free stays.
What I'm trying to say is that there's this definite, like, two roads to go on, right? They go there because it's I don't think Spain and Malta try very hard for to have people go there and film there.
Right.
I think those are tourist destinations. And then there's places like Cleveland, Ohio, that probably put in a bid. Virginia, you know, Jasper. I think they're like, please, 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 please feature us. Feature us prominently. We will throw in this and this and this.
Yeah,
and that,
of
those
course.
Are the nuts. So there's roads, but then there's also within that how prominently they feature the place, which is not always prominently.
Yeah, it kind of depends. This one was pretty prominent. I'm going to say there is another, when Gabby and Rachel's season, one of their stops was Brussels. And I remember this actually because I was like, you know, I think I want to visit Brussels. Because I've never been there before. So I was like, oh, that's a big city in Europe I haven't been to. That seems pretty, you know. I think with this one, I mean, they did a great job because pretty much everything, like, I was like, well, that's beautiful. I love horses and riding horses. That seems great, you know.
Look, hold on. Easier. Have you ever been to, like, Crestline or Big Bear or
yes.
Arrowhead? It's kind of like a mini version of Jasper. It's not that bad. You make it sound like this is some horrible place.
No, what I'm saying is that there are places that work hard to get this national attention from the back.
It's a national park,
and there are places that don't.
Lake Arrowhead is a figure skating location because that's where Michelle Kwan used to train.
Mm-hmm. Do you like Crestline? No, you don't.
I've been to Big Bear. It was cute.
Yeah, it's they got lakes in the middle, and it's surrounded by little
cottages.
It's
nice.
And
yeah. I think it's kind of like going to, like, Tahoe, or if you went to, like, Colorado Springs or Aspen or a place like that.
Yeah, exactly.
My point more is that, okay, so I like the point of Google kind of upping the cachet of these places because of the Bachelor. That to me seems like the kind of point I'm trying to make, that this is an important thing that the Bachelor does. I mean, I don't want to say important in a good way. I mean, right thing that the Bachelor does.
Well, remember that it's not just single channel marketing either. This is like a marketing campaign. So they probably are using this as a cornerstone of a whole campaign around Jasper and or Alberta and or Canada. I mean, this could be part of some, like, major Canadian, you know, countrywide Canadian marketing plan that they're putting forward.
Sure. And at the end of the episode, they definitely had that little logo emblem of the Canadian flag that was like either Visit Canada, Film Canada, you know, one of those.
Yeah.
Massive, yeah. Juggernaut, you know, kind of like pushes.
It's the Canadian, like, funding, CanCon, Canadian content, is like, you can get funding for filming that is like, it can't just be like filmed in Canada. It has to be set in Canada to get CanCon funding, because it can't be like Vancouver, but it's supposed to be New York City. It's supposed to be like, right, oh, this money is to actually show people like Canadian spots, Canadian culture. So it has to be like about Canada. They probably could have gotten CanCon funding for this episode.
Yeah, maybe. That's interesting. Okay.
So before we move on to the actual episode, Caitlin, last week, we were trying to decide, me and Craig here, whether, number one,
Joey's good looking or not.
No. Number one, so he has clinical depression.
Oh.
Whether he has
clinically depressed.
And maybe, oh my gosh, Craig, let me finish my sentence. And that maybe going around the world has set him off his meds because he doesn't know quite like what 24 hours is, so his meds are all off.
Okay, I shouldn't laugh at this, because this isn't, you know, I was like, I have clinical depression and take meds for it. I mean, it could be. He was very sad last week's episode.
See, I thought it was just jet lag, because they're going reverse direction.
The second option is, if he wants to talk on The Bachelor or to these women who he supposedly wants to marry about art and politics, but he only can say dumb Bachelor crap. And the one that would shock me is the second one. Does he have any relevant thoughts on actual life? I don't know. I don't think so. I think he's off his neck.
I mean, there's no way to really tell about the second one, honestly. Like, we don't know enough about him to know if he actually would care to have these conversations or not. I could see, like,
in his sorry, just to tell you, he, in his little two camera speech when he was crying last week, he kind of had a "I'm deeper than this" moment, but I think it was an off your meds moment.
I mean, I disagree. Think it might be like, I don't think if he is clinically depressed and he takes medication for it, it's unlikely that he's off his meds. Just because, like, I can't see why they wouldn't let him take them, or why he'd, like, forget. You know what I mean?
Well, hold on.
I mean, I guess you could forget if you were filming 24 hours a day and you, like, went to sleep without taking it or something. You might miss a few, but I wouldn't think you'd be, like, that off.
Remember that show, Unreal? Remember in the first season, they purposely change out the woman's meds?
Yes. And I do know there are some shows like Survivor, because you remember I'm a pet sitter for somebody who was on it. And I mentioned to her stuff like, she was basically like, oh, you should apply. And I was like, well, one of my biggest concerns would be like, first of all, I take a daily anti-depression and anti-anxiety pill. Right. And like, do they allow that? And she was like, usually no. Like, they will let you take life-saving medications on a show like that. Like, if it's like you have a heart condition and you have to take something or you'll have a heart attack, that they usually let you take. But things that are more like mental health related, they usually are like, no. So, or like, if you had ADHD, you wouldn't be allowed to take your meds for that, like stuff like that.
Right. You just want to qualify for the show.
Yes. So like, you either have to go off your meds to be on this. And some people do. Like, some people will literally, like, taper themselves off before they're planning on going on to be ready to do it. Or there's been a handful who tried to go cold turkey and then had to leave because they were like, I literally can't do this. So I think it depends. I would assume it's similar on a show like The Bachelor. Like, if it's a life-saving type med, that there's no way they'd withhold it from you. But if it's something that's more like you need it to function well, but you can survive without it, that maybe they would. So I don't know. It would be interesting to find out answers to that. If that is the case, if he is somebody who takes, like, actually it would make sense to me if they were withholding it then, because like SSRIs like that usually have like, they have a pretty long half-life. So if you just skipped 1 or 2 days, you wouldn't feel horrible. You know what I mean? Like, it would still be in your bloodstream enough that you would feel pretty normal. But then if it's been a while, you might start to feel very off. So it'd be like, if he's not taking his meds, it might show up at something like week 6 or week 7, because it's been long enough that it might not be like in his system at all anymore. Because my doctor explained this to me once when I was like, oh, I accidentally forgot a pill one day. And he was like, literally one day won't make a difference for most people because it's designed to sort of like still be in there for a while, you know? So it's possible. I also like there's a lot of other explanations with that. Like, jet lag is could be in there, but I think it's probably more something like he seems like he's kind of a perfectionist, right? Like he's very interested in holding himself to like an impossible standard, and that can mess with your head and make you feel depressed and sad, right? To be like, I'm trying so hard, but like I don't think I'm hitting perfection, which is also a reason to take anti-depression meds. I can say as a person who used to be a perfectionist. But I also think it could be the stuff like, you know, you're not getting a ton of sleep. You're in this sort of like weird social experiment, that all that stuff could weigh on you after a while, where like he feels a ton of pressure. The only people he can talk to is these producers who like he knows are manipulating him in certain ways. You know what I mean? So I feel like it could be he'd just been in it long enough that maybe he hit the wall of being like, I'm sad now.
Well, I don't, I think he's juggling a lot of balls in terms of saying, you know, oh, I have to, you know, I don't consider him very genuine, so I can't really go that route. Okay. Well, that's kind of where we all landed in different spots then. We can move on to the dates.
Yay!
But go ahead then, Craig, if you're so excited.
Yeah, Craig is super excited.
Oh, yeah. You know me. Me and the show, I get so excited.
Oh, my God, Craig, you shouldn't joke about this because I think people think you do hate this show.
Oh, no, it was fun watching Daisy have another date. She's fun to watch. She's got a natural charisma about her.
Yeah, how
about
that? What? Does have like weird. A natural, she seems very like user. Oh, I was gonna say she seems very like natural in certain ways, and I think a lot of people from what I've been seeing on Twitter very much appreciated her stance of saying she didn't want to say she's falling in love with him because she doesn't, she's not there yet, you know what I mean? Even
but
though
she said it immediately after. She said it to camera, like immediately after.
She's like, I think I'm falling in love. Oh
yeah, he doesn't know yet, which is, I think, the critical part here is, I think he would have wanted her to say it, because for him, it's better if every woman is falling in love with him. You know what I mean? Like, it's easier for him.
Give it a week. Oh
my God. Well, exactly. Yeah. That's
some, like, humongous, like, thing, you know? It's not some hurdle. It's
easier. You're exactly right. That's the problem here. It's like, I'm not there yet in this week, but next week I'll be there.
She is saying that she will be there next week when she talks about how like meeting her family and getting their approval will basically make her say she's falling in love with him to him. So she is setting it up that she's going to say it after he meets the family next week, right?
This is exactly what I don't like about Bachelor Nation, is that they like someone and they don't know why. So everything they do is correct. Mm-hmm. So whenever someone does something, it becomes a moral, you know, character trait, like an upstanding moral character trait of them. She didn't say it yet, everybody. What a woman. You're like, what? Are you serious? What are we supposed to, like, take from that? I don't like how, you know, they want to like this woman who's been through something, but she's also perfect in every other way. It's so Bachelor Nation. It's cyclical, but it is.
Yeah, I mean, I think she is such an interesting character for this show because she is literally a perfect character, right? Like, she grew up on a Christmas tree farm. It's Hallmark Channel kind of stuff, right? That she's like beautiful and blonde and she comes across very natural and charming. And then she also had this major illness that made her go deaf. So she has this like, she's had challenges in her life that have then made her somebody who, like, she writes children's books now and she works for a nonprofit. You know, I mean, like, it's exactly what Bachelor loves. You know, it's like a beautiful person who went through hardship and has turned it into being like, I'm telling my story, I'm helping other people. It's like, it's so perfect. It's like, we all know the producers, when they, like, casting people found her or whatever, they were like, this is amazing. Mm-hmm. Because she just fits
he better
so
like her.
Well, you know? Yeah, they're like, you better fall in love with her, because, like, she needs to be in that top two, you know? Yeah. Like, she either needs to be marrying him or she's going to be the next Bachelorette. It's one of those.
Yeah, and that's why Joey is perfect for this story, because I believe he is that kind of person who would latch onto that. And you know what? We've had these stories before, and it's almost like they give them their little sliver of the show, right? Apart from the lead. When the lead is not interested in this great story, they will carve out a space for that person, because they need those dystopian feel-good stories to show how the society works. And it is... to me, like, it is dystopia. It is the marker of, like, a crumbling society. But whatever, you know,
let Bachelor Nation live,
I guess.
Wait, what's the marker of a crumbling society? Alberta? Get in.
Feel-good stories repackaged for, like, you know, oh, here's this person going through famine and war, but guess what? They're doing their best to just wake up every morning and see the sunrise. You're like,
I thought you were going to say, but guess what? They're traditionally beautiful as they do it.
Yeah. Right. I mean, there's all kinds of little, like, the American exceptionalism kind of myth reinforced through this, you know, love story. I mean, it's all just arms of the same monster.
But I will say something I found very interesting because, like, last night after I watched, as I'm getting ready to go to sleep, I trawl through Twitter looking at the Bachelor hashtag to see, like, what tweets I find interesting or funny. But there has been a large percentage of that audience that, while they don't dislike Daisy at all, they think she's great. They do think, and I was surprised at how many people were saying this, that they're like, they don't think that she and Joey has chemistry. They see it more with the other women. And so they're like, while Daisy is perfect in every way, he seems to have much more chemistry with, say, Kelsey A and Maria.
Right. Yeah, well, that could be true, yeah.
I think what we keep referring to is that's the sexual tension. That is the sex tension.
Well, I think he is more, like, flirtatious with those two in a certain way. And it might also be, like, this is such, like, guessing, have no idea. But maybe he isn't as flirty with Daisy because in his head she's already, like, number one or two. He doesn't, you know what I mean? Like, he doesn't need to taint perfect Daisy with his flirtatiousness.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely the ones you have sex with and the one you marry kind of division going on here. And I think it is kind of gross and 50s to me, you know?
But, well, it's like the French. Don't the French always have, like, their wife and then their lover?
Yes, Greg. Isn't whatever.
I guess, okay. Like, traditional French culture, yeah, but I don't think it's as divided as, like, this is like the Madonna whore dichotomy kind of thing, right? And I don't think French culture is necessarily like that. Like, your wife can be sexy in France, you know? Like,
oh, okay.
Yeah, just I checking. Think what you're looking at more is, like, it is very old school in this sense that, like, it's like if you're watching, like, Grease, the movie, right? And it's like, some girls, Olivia Newton-John, are perfect for dating and marriage. Some girls, like Rizzo or whatever, are great for having sex with. And I don't know that it's even, like, that conscious or calculated in a certain way, but there could be something there where, like, he's not putting as much flirtatious energy into Daisy because in his head it's like, she's a match in so many other ways. Why do I need to, like, have this fun, flirty dynamic with her? That's a thing I have with these other girls.
Well, it's like that game F, Marry, Kill that people play.
I do think that's right. But I just don't. I just think it is calculated. I think it's like a, you know, like I said, I said this last week, but that he is, or the week before, that he is a blunt force, a blunt object to kind of have a foot in both worlds, where he, in quotes, respects women and gives them all the dance speak he can, as much as he can cram in. And at the same time, he is playing that 1950s role that The Bachelor is having a hard time holding on to in this new generation of women. So I don't trust it from him. I think, yeah, he wouldn't want to marry someone that would have sex on TV, but it's okay if he has sex.
I mean, I think he might marry someone who has sex with him on TV.
I don't think so. Well, I don't know what's going to happen, but I just
don't know yet. Yeah, that's like 2 weeks out at this point when we have Fantasy Suites week. But my assumption
is... I think
the
sexual tension is...
Yeah, I was going to say, my assumption is he's not going to do a Zach, and he's not going to declare no sex. I think he's going to be one of the ones who is like, we won't ever talk about specifics here. But that he'll probably go to the Fantasy Suite with all three of them and leave it mysterious as to what they actually did in there. But my assumption is he'll probably have sex with multiple women that week.
Okay,
yeah,
we can move on to the group date, which was weird that they had a group date with only like four. I don't remember them doing it this late. I thought the last group date would have been last week or something. But for some reason, I guess they knew Maria was spiraling. So they're like, have her watch them kiss. Yeah. Have her watch
they
them.
Have to
and
do
she
kept... like something, right? It's like if you only have 2 one-on-ones, then you have to have a group date, even if it's only with 4 women.
Right.
Well, sometimes they'll do something like an extended, like a pool party or something like that, where everyone's there and it's not really. But I did like the caveat he used, where he's like, no cocktail party, but no one can interrupt my Maria time. Because he's like, that was an interesting way to kind of get around getting interrupted.
Yeah, it was an interesting, like, I was surprised when they said there was no cocktail party, because all of those women were like champing at the bit to be like, I must talk to Joey about my feelings. And then it was like, no cocktail party, we're going straight to rose ceremony. By the way, he will pull Maria separately to have a conversation.
Yeah, but let's get to that. Okay, so what he does first is, you know, he kisses one of the women and Maria sees it. And then he's kind of flirting with Rachel and Maria sees it. And then Maria and Joey have this, I don't know, a fight. Let's call it a fight.
I think just with you knowing that I'm going into it with you not being mine, you know, at first I was like, I want him to experience every girl in here. So when he ends up with me, it means more. But the reality of it is that you have connections with the other women. And
but I have connections with you too. Like, you always discredit what we have.
No.
What we could. You're doing it right now.
I don't, you know, today I saw you kiss Ice Jen cold. And like, obviously it wasn't meant to be that, but like bringing you to meet my family, knowing that you are that way with these other women, it just doesn't sit right with me. My biggest fear would be like doing all this and not ending up with you. It's gone the best of me. And I don't know. I don't know if I can do this anymore.
So Joey kind of checks out at this point, right?
He doesn't like manic.
Head
He doesn't like it. He's going
to
cut her.
It was so special to me. It changed everything for me. But that's what made it so hard, too.
I'm obviously shocked. I didn't expect this. I want you to know how much I truthfully care, and that my biggest fear in all of this is not only the fact that this wouldn't work for me, but that the right person possibly couldn't see themselves doing this in this way. Because I know I still have a lot of great
women. We know what your biggest fear is, Joey.
You were one of them. You don't talk about it enough.
I know, but like, I just can't
cut
hear
this off.
No, like, you feel...
Okay, I'm going to pause it.
God. We don't need to hear the whole thing.
No, I do want to hear the whole thing because the whole thing is relevant here. And I'll tell you why. Go ahead and say your point, but I will tell you why the whole thing is relevant.
I've already said my point. See, he A, doesn't like Manic. B, is ice cold. And C, we know what his greatest fear is because he says it every 5 minutes.
We do know his greatest fear. I think for him, what I'm seeing here, and I think it was with Lexi last week too, if a woman comes to him and tries to do the thing where they're like, I think I'm going to leave, and for me to stay, you need to like beg for it. I think in his head, he's like, I'm not begging for it. You know, and it's like, you know, like, I think it's like a big turnoff for him here when she does this. Yeah, I think he's basically like, if you want to leave, leave then. You know what I mean? Like, don't like play around with this.
I think it is different with Maria, though, than just another woman having said this. And I think it's actually been different with all the women. Like, I think when, you know, Crazy Sister self-eliminated, he's like, oh, good.
Yeah, I
oh,
think good. He was so happy about that one. Like, he was like, oh, thank God, we don't have to deal with this anymore.
when Lexi self-eliminated, he was kind of like, phew, one last, like, goodbye that doesn't have to be my fault.
Yeah, I think he was kind of like, you know, it makes sense. There's also no way you could really argue with what Lexi was saying. It was like the only thing he could have said to change her mind was basically say he would have a much shorter engagement just for her. So it's like, okay, you know what I mean? So I feel like it was like, oh, great, you know, if you don't want to meet me where I'm at, then sure, go home. And I think that's, yeah, I think for him, this is part where I think is a big mistake from Maria here, is both she tries to basically do, you know, the I'm going to leave unless you beg me to stay thing. But he does not like that. It is such a huge turnoff for him that I think it makes him be into her less, even when she comes back and is like, never mind. I've
got more to play. Because I think it's an important kind of, like for Maria, I equate it to kind of walking downstairs into a basement. You know, she just keeps going and going and she just keeps going. So here's the end of them finishing off because she does start off in a place where it's more like open, right? And then she keeps putting herself in a corner.
Just as good or better with other women. I can't do it anymore.
It's not my job to pull that out of you or to force it because...
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
I want someone to choose me.
It's not my job. It is your job.
Logically, my brain can understand, but if I'm being honest, my heart's kind of like, doesn't get it. Because I thought we were going somewhere.
Yeah.
So is this it?
Ultimatum.
Is it something that truthfully, like, your mind's made up? Because it feels like it might be.
Okay, so right there, I have.
It's
I have
not my hurt. Job.
I have been put in such a corner that you just have to answer the. You should not answer the question. I now know, right? As like a 17-year-old, you don't know that. You kind of get put in a corner, and you're like, you know what? I have to stick to what I said. I guess. Yeah, she wants validation.
What she had done.
He's not giving it.
She didn't really want to leave. She just wanted him to be like, no, no, what I have with you is so much more special than I have with those other women. Like, you and I are so important and blah, 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 you know. But then because she had gotten to it, you're right about being painted into a corner when he was like, is your mind made up about this? And she's like, I think it is. And you know she's thinking, like, how do I get out of this now? Like, I don't actually want to leave. How do I pull this back?
Yeah, so... I think as someone who used to get into these predicaments, but like obviously self-imposed predicaments all the time, first off, where I started, I knew I wanted something, some kind of declaration, but I didn't know how to get it, what to say, where I was going when I started a sentence or a talk. And I like that Maria leaves the room. She talks to someone else. She changes her space. He sits And I really do feel like he's just like, well, there goes my sex pick. Great. Now what? But I don't, I know that people think that he's really going to like marry her. I don't. Or like pick her. Right. And then what reminds me, you know, almost feeling for feeling, because I don't want to say word for word of what I used to do, is that Maria comes back, and as much as she goes down into a basement and sits in a corner and there's no exit, she comes back and she like climbs the stairs again. And I love hearing it. So let's hear it.
I need someone that's in it fully.
I know.
So do you still want to be here?
So those are the little like treats he's giving, right? Pausing it. He's giving these little treats along the way, like, do you still want to be here? And that's giving her hope again. And I think that's, I think in retrospect, where I always wanted to be. Because you can hear her getting happier.
I don't need an apology, but I need.
Go ahead, Craig.
Well, in the past, EZR, you've said that you're not the type of person that says I love you or likes to be told I love you. Mm-hmm. So what kind of validation were you looking for?
Well, I think it's a substitute for that.
And what I hope will happen is you consistently talking to it with me, but you feeling like you can still be here, because I'm not going to be with someone that can't see this and trust it.
But I'm telling you.
I'm hearing it.
I can see it. I've seen it.
But this is what it is.
No, I'm not kissing you tonight because I saw you kiss her, and I.
But you're not even gonna kiss me tonight because of that.
No, because you need to learn your lesson.
You need to learn your lesson.
You also understand that was something.
That's the pixie dream girl coming out.
Okay, yeah. Keep going. I'm listening.
You're all over the place, woman.
That's the validation, right?
It is, but I would also say his sentence, you're all over the place, woman, is not a positive thing to him, right?
Oh, no, but she's taking it.
She's taking it as like, it's fine. But I think the way he's saying it is like, you need to rein this in. Like, this is not what I like.
Yeah, but I think, again, it's him. He cannot say a lot, even if he wants to be like, just stay till the. There's what he can say. There's what the bachelor will allow. Let's just say he was having this conversation with Daisy. He couldn't be like, it's you. And then there's actually what he does think. So there's like an extra layer, which is the bachelor layer, and what he does think is make it to the fantasy suites. Then, you know, I think we're all messed up by
if you remember Zach's fantasy suite sex pick, who he did not have sex with, was just such an interesting dynamic, right? Of like, this is the sexy person who I'm so attracted to, and then it was like, but I will not have sex with them. Instead, I'll have sex with my number two.
I think Zach's place where he came from, started the bachelor season off, where he mentally started the season off, when he got to the fantasy suites, I think all that was very organic. And I think, like, again, those are the bachelors that get shit on the most, when they should get the most credit sometimes, versus the calculating bachelors who make these ploys. And I put, you know, people like Nick Viall in that category, and that you guys know I put Joey there. So I think he has these two for that.
But that's
not even what I'm trying to get to. What? Go ahead. What?
Oh, I was thinking about when I watched this episode last night. I was thinking about Peter Pilot season, actually. And what made me think of this was both, you know, the Daisy not wanting to say she's falling in love thing, but Joey does like the affirmation of knowing that all of the women are falling in love with him, sort of stuff. And then I was thinking about how Peter had such an interesting ending because he wanted Madison. He wanted Madison like the whole time, right? But he ended up proposing to Hannah Ann. And some of it was the safety of knowing that Hannah Ann would say yes to that proposal. that he knew it was like he wouldn't get rejected. But with Maddie, there was a chance he would get rejected and basically did, right? So that kind of reminded me of what was happening with Joey here when he says that thing to the camera about being like, it's terrifying to imagine proposing to Maria because, you know, she's probably going to say no or whatever, right? Like, she's mercurial is kind of what he's saying, right? I feel like that plays into this too, is that they're scared of getting rejected and getting rejected on national TV. And so maybe you go with the safe pick, not the one that you're like truly like, oh, I'm so into this person, because there's a sense of danger with that person, right?
I think that's the narrative they're trying to give us. But again, I do not believe that narrative. I believe that Daisy is his pick and everyone else is to get him there. And again, Peter Pilot was selfish because he was immature. But well, he still came from an organic place within that. So I don't think it's comparable.
It's a little bit different, too, because Madison was like a staunch evangelical Christian who like has never had sex.
Yeah, so there was a sense of like, he really seemed like he was into her. He wanted to pick her, but there was always this sense from like anyone with logic that that might not work out because like, is Peter, he'd have to convert. And he must know he'd have to convert.
Well, he was very religious as well, but just
he was, but just not that brand.
Yeah, yeah, we talked about that at length.
But
that they were different brands of Christianity.
But see, okay, you, Caitlin, you believe that he's being authentic. I do not. So I think, you know, we got our points across on that.
I believe Joey is perfect. He's so handsome.
Yes, but what I really wanted to talk about with this,
Craig,
is
how can you possibly question like literally the reason why the ratings have gone up this year is because people find him hot. That's like the whole.
Let's not get into it. EZR is trying to make a point.
No, my only point is that I enjoy seeing again through Girl World the descent and how she claws her way back up. Maria, how she does that. What the turning points are, which are Joey giving her small affirmations. And again, there's like two layers of things stopping him here. One being the bachelor and one being his own motivations, which I believe to be nefarious. And I like seeing that on TV because I think it's a very normal thing that women do. And I was kind of believing that I might be the only one who felt that way or that could do that or that was, you know, like everyone, there was a lot of like, I can't believe you did that to someone. I'm like, well, now I know that a lot of women do that. A lot of women do that. And it's to receive affirmations. And it's an interesting little roller coaster they take their partners on. And I don't think Maria can do it to the extent she wanted to, but it's nice to seeing a little version of it because it is like, you know, it's like watching. That's the best part about reality. That's something that people don't give reality TV credit for, is that you rarely see this on like scripted editing, but reality TV will take you into the depths of like the horrible things people do to each other's minds. and it's done, you know, it is inauthentic in a way. But it's at least it's done. You don't see that.
I mean, I think it is. It's authentic to her in the sense that I believe she would do this if she was dating a person not on TV, too. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it would be different in terms of the argument wouldn't be over because he was dating like a bunch of other women right in front of her, presumably. But I could see this happening with other things. I would say, though, that I'm like sort of the opposite of you, EZR, in that I have been in these situations where I'm dating somebody who basically is like trying to do the dramatic, you know, I want an affirmation so badly that I'm gonna threaten to break up with you or whatever in order to get it. And I react kind of like Joey did in this, where I'm just like, well, if you think it's over, it's over. There's the door.
When you're in high school, though?
Oh, yeah, because I was just like, listen, I'm not entertaining. Like, you know, and sometimes I think I didn't even know that that's what they were looking for, was like a lot of affirmation. But I was just like, if you are going to tell me that you like you think this is ending, I am not arguing with you about
Caitlin,
it.
Caitlin, you're ice cold.
Well, I'm sure I've told this story before, but my last really serious relationship when he broke up with me, and he, like, I got the distinct vibe that he wanted me to argue with him a little bit, you know, so that he would have a chance to lay out his case of, like, the reasons that we needed to break up. And I was just like, I don't need a ton of reasons. I only need the one, which is you're saying you don't want to date me anymore. You know, so it's like,
I mean,
what, I don't need your full justification of like how you came to that point. That doesn't matter to me.
I feel like there's 30-year-old versions of that. You know, that's not, I'm talking about how important it is. I think I'm more talking about how important it is for women, girls, to see that this is normal and maybe they should analyze their feelings before they start spiraling. And this is not per se about, this is just a type of character and trait or a person. And I, you know, you never see it. You see examples of it with people. Like I did see people do this, but I would never see it on television the way I would see other types of emotions displayed constantly. Right. That weren't like me. So I think this is an important kind of small version of something that is good to see. And she was just looking for affirmation. And, you know, I think something he does that I think a lot of women aren't picking up on is that he's constantly asking for validation, constantly.
Mm. Yes.
And but that isn't as criticized as this.
No. And I think like, I don't think that people were, the way this went down with Maria, most people who are just like, wait, what? It didn't seem like they were like, wow, that was like, you shouldn't have done that or whatever. It was more like, I'm confused about the way that you handled this. But I think one of the most interesting things to me is that she says, you know, she won't kiss him to punish him. Mm-hmm. And then she kisses him immediately. That's the exact same thing she did on night one. Do you remember this? When she was like, I'm not going to kiss him. Like, it's too early. He's kissed other women. It's whatever. And then she was like, whoops, I kissed him.
That's right.
I think it's a thing that for her, she's like, I'm withholding affection as like punishment. But then she's like, but now I give it to them. It's off. Like, it's put them off kilter. They're like, you know, I don't think she's even consciously thinking about it like that, but that is what she's doing. You know what
That's
I mean?
That's funny, because I kind of thought it was the other thing. So me and Craig talk about this a lot, that on sitcoms, there would be these fights so you can get, in quotes, deeper in love, right? Because the fights prove how in love you are.
Exactly.
And then you can make up from the fight, and that'll be like a romantic moment.
Yeah. So the low she was feeling, she Maria burst on him. She has to have him feel the low, and he didn't quite feel it the way she wanted. So then she came back to get words of affirmation, and as she was doing that, he was about to go somewhere weird. So instead of letting him go somewhere else, she just kissed him. That's how it felt to me. And then that, you know, to kind of shut him up, like, please don't say anything, because that's perfect. And I'm happy again. I'm happy again. I'm no longer spiraling. I'm back at the, you know, we're back at the beginning, the end of the sitcom, which is the beginning of the next episode. We're back to one baseline. Yeah,
everything resets.
And so I thought she was, it reset. I thought she was doing that. She was doing the, like, I'm not going to kiss you because you're, you know, like a flirty thing. But then at the same time, she's kind of like, you know, prove it to me. You're punished. You were punished. And then she just kind of jumps on him. And that to me is very sitcom-y. Yeah. It has that like reset value. So,
I agree.
I think it's different.
Yeah. Okay. As a connoisseur of many a sitcom, I think that your analysis is right on.
I love the sitcom reset, and I think it's Caitlin, so like you're the same age I am, but I think I grew up watching things that no eighth grader should have watched, but it was very sexual, very very sexual, right? Way more sexual than we needed.
Okay, let's move on.
Okay, well, I have one of those TVs that went clink, 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 clink. Remember those? I had a secret TV that did that. Did you guys ever have that?
Clink, so clink, clink.
The UHF. So, okay. So you have like 12 channels that go, that like turn on one. Yeah. And then when you get to the, there's to like a channel that that lets you go to a different
dial.
And then you have tinier channels, right? Yeah. Then you go, click, 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 click. So anyways, so that
it was VHF, VHF and UHF.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I didn't have one of those. And the stuff I was watching when I was like in eighth grade was like, well, my whole family watched Seinfeld together. We were like a Seinfeld and Simpsons watching family as our like TV together. I watched a lot of Sailor Moon at this time. Whoa. And,
yeah, see, I never.
And I was really into, and this makes zero sense. I don't know any other kids who are like into this who are my age. I was really into the TV show JAG. I was like obsessed with JAG.
Whoa. You know?
Judge, Advocate, General, Navy Lawyer.
That's like the predecessor to NCIS.
Basically, yes. I've like seen every episode of JAG. I had JAG on like DVD for a while.
Huh. Interesting.
Well, we kind of, I think for me and Craig and maybe like a group, like a big cohort of our generation or like, you know, kind of our, let's just say our mental generation, because it's a certain type of person. We kind of learned about how you're supposed to be through these sitcoms, but it turns out you're not supposed to be like that. Sitcoms were wrong and they were just, you know, trash basically that they, and so it was wrong of them to do that to us. Cause I went out in the world thinking like you're supposed to go and get an apartment by yourself and not be sad about it because it is sad to live alone. Like that's how I felt anyway. But
we were taught to believe that a single wage earner could afford a three-story house with an attic and a basement in San Francisco,
which would be amazing.
That's not even that's kind of the memeified version of what we're taught to believe. But I'm talking about the emotions. Like
I'm just kidding.
We were supposed to be nebulously friends with people that like. We secretly like that's not decent. That is not okay to do, right? You either have a friend or you don't.
It reminds me of what I actually did watch a lot of growing up, Saved by the Bell. We should have like a clip of, you know, the noise they would make whenever it was like, oh my god, somebody admitted to a crush on somebody else, and it would be like ooh in the background.
Yeah. We could go on and on about Saved by the Bell.
We can. Okay. Well, then the last date is the Kelsey date. You guys, I can talk about that. There was not much there for me at all.
No, except that it was a classic case of when they were having their dinner date. She was like, you know, here's all my worries and fears and blah, blah, blah. And then he basically said, it could have been editing, of course, but he basically said one sentence. He was like, well, I really appreciate you telling me this, and I would never, you know, purposely hurt you or whatever. And then, boom, to camera, she's like, he totally validated me.
Yeah, I feel like they might have edited some stuff out because I don't know if her reaction would have been as effusive for just that. Like, it's like how so many people make fun of how Matt James would always be like, thank you for sharing that with me, no matter what they said. And that
That's
was very like,
too.
Thank you for sharing. Well, it was he also used the same phrase every single time. And most bachelors have a little bit of variation in how they say it.
Right.
But yeah, it was the only thing I was really thinking about watching that date was that I checked how long it's been since her mother died because I remember this conversation. Easier, it's been 10 years. So it is not fresh. It's been a bit.
It's been 10.
Oh, his mom. Yes, her mom died. Yes, I did look it up.
It's been like 10.
No, I have no. I am totally okay with her going on the show. I do not have any judgments on it at all.
Okay, so you brought this up the last time they had a one-on-one of being like, what if it's too close to when her mom died? And it was like, okay, it has been 10 years. So I
this is what Craig put on me. I agree that you shouldn't go on immediately after like the sisters. But
Or like, what was the time difference from Michael Alio's wife dying to when he went on? That was a pretty short one, right?
That one is especially egregious, though. That one is like, you know, it was talk like about
you're obviously not going to be ready to date.
That's next level.
Yeah. Like, it was just such a weird... It was a weird thing to do.
Because
it was like, he's never going to be ready to date somebody to meet his son in that period of time.
Right.
No, and that was my problem with it. He wasn't looking for a wife. He was looking for a second mother for his child and for him. And he's a scam artist. And as we know,
a lot
right,
of men are looking for basically a mom, frankly.
I'm just impressed that you remembered his last name.
Well, for his kid.
Yeah, he was okay, like, he was the one who was selling like marked up PPE during the pandemic.
Yeah.
But look, like, parents are supposed to die at some point. There is that. I give you that, Craig, the caveat.
Yeah, it is a different situation because, like, your spouse dying and dating again is something you don't necessarily expect to happen, but everyone knows that their parents will have to die at some point. It's just when it happens young, it's shocking, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that was especially egregious. Moving on.
Okay.
Kelsey. Yes, it's a different thing. But yes, her mom has been dead for a decade. And I also found it really funny that she was so excited about the polar bear plunge thing. It was just like, I don't think she was faking that, honestly, because it seemed so like surprisingly excited about it. Like, I've been wanting to do this for so long.
Yeah. So I used to live in Maine, as you know. And I used to, I would stay at a lake house of a friend, and I would use the lake as my shower in the mornings. Even
know if that's
in
sanitary,
the winter.
Craig.
No, it is, because the water's, it's glacial water. It's
okay,
like,
but
super
are you
clean.
Like, are you soaping in there? Because that's what showering involves.
You're diving too deep into this to use a phrase.
Okay, so what you're saying is you weren't really showering for a period of time. You were rinsing off in clean water.
Yeah. But my point is, even in the winter, when it was really cold, so I know what this plunge is all about.
Yes, I've heard of it before, and actually I love the, like, Nordic spa hot and cold dip thing.
Yeah. That. Like, they had that. And, you know, podcasters, Adam Carolla and... Dr. Drew, they're all about, I don't listen to them, but they're all about taking cold showers in the morning. They're like part of the cold shower movement.
I'm not part of that movement, but I do like when, like when I visited my cousin in Sweden a few years ago, and you would go to like the central bathhouse in Stockholm, and it would be like, you go from like, you take a dip in an ice cold pool, and then you go into a hot one, and then you go back and forth. And I was like, that does feel good, actually. It feels like invigorating. So I would also probably be excited if somebody was like, you're going to do a polar plunge. And I'd be like, yeah, bring it on. And Joey was not excited.
Yeah. Well, if you watch Vanderpump Rules, he took an bit, Tom Sandoval of Scandoval took an ice bath plunge. In the last
as
episode.
A punishment or
no, just something to do. It's what those coastal elites in Hollywood do.
Yes, so I did find it funny that she was so pumped about it, because I was like, oh, I think this is like a genuine thing where she's like, oh, I want to do this. And I also laughed pretty hard at the Chiron and the guy who told them about it, where it said typical Canadian.
Yeah, exactly. That's pretty funny. What about you, EZR? Would you take a cold plunge?
Yeah, I've done it. It's fine. Okay, moving on. Because I just was not interesting. I'm so sorry. It was just like, not that she wasn't excited, not that part, just the
well,
I feel like
that...
Daisy and Kelsey have had repeated they're kind of like, did I tell you my sob story already? Because I'm going to tell it to you again. Like, they just did the same thing.
Well, I think
that adds to the
having
boring
the second
part.
One-on-one date, right? Is that you've already used your ammunition in terms of your life story.
See,
you've done it already.
Maria is constant, you know, there's nothing recycled with her. She's
no,
been,
but I think
she's
she
saying
might
new things every
just
time.
Be a genuinely interesting person. I think she's different.
Yeah.
In that, like, she both has held back some of her full story because she has surprising things that she'll drop in every once in a while. It's not like, uh-oh, I spent all of my life story chips You know, it was like, no, she has plenty of them. Like, even like the car accident with her mom stuff, that wasn't even on a one-on-one date. That was like an evening group date thing that she was like, oh yeah, this is just a thing that happened to me. And it was like, wait, what? Like, you know what I mean? So I feel like, I think she also was probably just a genuinely pretty interesting person is my take on her.
Well, not even just interesting. She's just able to, as a normal human should and does, you know, you just talk about different things the next time you see the person.
Right. Like, yeah, this is the part that like, kind of like holding conversations and sort of, it doesn't seem, I hate to say this because obviously I know like these are real things that happen to these people that are upsetting. You know what I mean? When they tell their stories, for the most part, sometimes it'll be a stupid one, but nobody on this season has had one that's really, you know, like when they're like, my parents divorced and it's the whole reason. And I was like, okay, moving on. Not a great story. But all these people have had like fairly traumatic things that happen to them. But that there's a certain element of rehearsal because they know that's how this works on The Bachelor is like you get your one-on-one date, you have fun during the daytime, but you hold something back because you're going to do that in the evening dinner portion where you tell them your tragic story, where it feels like Maria isn't rehearsed in that way, which is really interesting. It's, I think part of what makes her such good TV is that like she's not formulaic in the Bachelor way that we're often used to.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I do think that Daisy and Kelsey are especially formulaic. They're especially, you know, doubling down as if we, you know, like, oh, I got to make sure they put that in. So I'm going to say it again. And it makes Maria look better, but it also makes them look worse to me. There is a baseline that's just normal.
Yeah.
Okay. So then he hacks the cocktail party. I want alone time with Maria. I don't want to be interrupted.
Oh my God. Yes, it is fascinating to me because what this basically said to me is like, he knew already that he was cutting somebody like Jen, who was desperate to talk to him, right? He didn't want more conversation with Jen. He wanted it with Maria because where they had left was such a shaky footing that, like, for him to give her the rose, it felt like they needed to have a conversation, or it would be like, oh, but how did you know to choose her over the other women?
On the other side of that, if he is as calculating as I believe him to be, he has to make sure the audience buys that he's genuinely picking her, not just for the sex, everybody, that's soon to come, but because he's wrestling with it. And she's the unstable pick, where really, Rachel feels like the unstable pick in terms of...
Look, I feel like their relationship, we haven't seen as much of it as some of the other ones, right?
I bet Bachelor Nation, whatever you want, that she will not make it to the fantasy suites.
Well, I do feel like when they do talk, it does seem like kind of comfortable in a way that like they have like a natural back and forth that's not stilted, and that can be a nice thing if you're like leading a show like this. If you find somebody easy to talk to, I bet that pushes them up on your list for sure.
Do you remember what Rachel's one-on-one date was?
So she did the dancing in Spain.
The flamenco. Yes,
the dance lesson, and then they had like a performance, and then it was like a dinner thing, right?
Gotcha. That's all.
But whatever you guys want to bet that this is just the
well, I'm not pick, willing Joey to take
knows,
that bet.
Joey knows the storyline.
Is Are as you much doing as a I
convention commercial.
Wait, what?
I won't take that ride. Oh, you know, no. Survivor. The insurance. Go ahead.
Because the previews for next episode really show Maria's dad being a central figure here. So he could mess the whole thing up.
He's an interesting figure for sure.
I am on record as not... You know what I find interesting? Is that back when we were puritanical in the early 2000s, the whole of The Bachelor would be leading up to fantasy suites. I mean, they would mention it every week.
Right.
They would say, you know, I can't take this person to fantasy suites. I don't know what's going to happen. Now that we are open with our sexualities and we should be exploring and it's a spectrum, now that the society is this way and that our own contestants have said so much, right? Now we're all looking forward to hometowns, hometowns, hometowns. Mm-hmm. And it's like, what are you guys talking about? When has hometowns ever mattered? Never mattered. So yeah, the whole thing
the
that
story
hometowns
now
matter
is the family thing, right? That, like, you know, you have to see how does the family like him?
Oh,
does he get along with
the
family?
Your best friend and all your siblings, but you don't live anywhere near them, but your mom's your best friend.
Although
but all your siblings,
they do. I'd say not always. Sometimes
rare.
They are, like, somewhat. I am also interested at, like, he's going to be traveling all over the place for next week because we've got New Orleans for Kelsey. We've got Ontario for Maria. We've got Minnesota for
right.
Daisy and Hawaii for Rachel. So he's going to be on a plane a lot for this episode's film.
It's a lot of jet lag.
Let's see if he's really sad next week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is our test.
Let's
to
see
if
how
he's
medication.
Manic, if he's depressed or if he's.
But we also
I can't
see
keep
the,
my
the
mental
preview
health
thing,
straight.
Right? That, like, and they always, there's always at least one family that's like really difficult, right? It looks like we might have more than one. It's going to depend on how it goes. But obviously, right. Maria's dad is going to be interesting to watch. And it looks like Rachel's mom might be disapproving. And then also even, like, I bet this is so mild, but Daisy's family being like, but you're dating other women, you know what I mean? So I bet they're all gonna have a little bit of, like, anti the show stuff. I think that they also show Kelsey A's dad being
right.
like, you know, but how do we know you're serious because you're dating these other women kind of thing. So you know you're going to get some of that at least, but I think it sounds to me like Maria and Rachel's are going to be the ones with the families that are most resistant.
I'd be the worst dad in these scenarios because I'd be like,
yeah, go ahead and date my kid on TV. Dating yeah. 30 other people? I don't care.
Yeah. Go for it, son. That'd be funny. Okay.
Right.
Should we do some fashion?
You guys go ahead and do fashion, but I have to say that what's up with not giving us a final, like, cute moment anymore?
Oh, like a funny moment at the end of the
episode? Like a funny under the credits moment. Now it's see you next week moment. And now they're doing these whole cold opens, like, this is what you'll see. This is the most dramatic thing you'll see. Wait for it. Openings that are, I mean, I don't know. If that's what they used to do just the last couple episodes. It's a whole new little cut-up system, and I don't love it.
I think it's a new editorial choice because they also changed how it opens now. Like, it used to be, like, Jesse's voice being like, last week on The Bachelor, or whatever. And now it's just they show you a clip from what's coming up in this episode that's very dramatic.
Yeah. And then The Bachelor's in gray text, not red.
Yeah.
So yeah,
well,
they've made
the whole,
new editorial choices, and this might be the path
they
going
have
forward.
They've updated the way reality TV because it's a little bit less hokey, I guess, for the start. But the end, I just feel like that little clip is kind of like a palate cleanser if you're just, as I feel, kind of like slogging through this because you know who he's choosing and you have these filler episodes where he's leading these women on. Anyway, okay.
Yeah,
I guess it's all going to be in the bloopers at, like, Women Tell All and after the final rose now.
Right, yeah. Right. Okay. I can leave you guys with fashion because I got something.
Oh, you're
going to,
you're signing off, EZR?
Yeah.
All right. Good to see you.
See you. Yeah.
You
guys
you
are doing fashion?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, Craig.
This is the fashion roundup. Craig and Caitlin talk about what people are wearing.
That is raw, unedited. That's just you guys. Okay, bye.
Yikes. Okay, what'd you think of Daisy's white shimmery dress?
Wait, do you mean, like, her top at her one-on-one? Or...
Yeah, well, she was wearing, like, during the dinner portion of the day, she was wearing like a white dress.
It wasn't a dress. It was a shirt and then like black pleather pants.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Okay. Yeah, I liked the top, although it's the kind of shirt that I personally don't wear because the way it's cut on like the one shoulder means that like, you can't wear a regular bra with it because your straps would be showing.
Right.
Even though it has a full sleeve on the other side. But like, I understand the trend and I think it looks cute on a lot of outfits, but I personally don't wear that kind of thing because I would rather wear a regular bra underneath my shirts. So,
well, the first thing I said to myself was, oh, it's one of those one sleeve only shirts.
One sleeve is so big. Everyone loves a one sleeve.
Yeah. Okay,
I actually noticed, and this was really interesting to me, on the Daisy and Joey date when they go into the hot tub and they're in their bathing suits. Yeah. I am pretty sure that the bathing suit she wears is exactly the same style as I've seen women wearing on Love Island All Stars this season.
Well, you know, these boutique cloth makers, you know, they probably are in with the reality shows in such a way that that could be true. Did you ever see, there's a YouTube video where there was a sale, they figured out that there was a sale on a certain kind of dress at some like name brand online retailer.
Mm-hmm.
And then they showed weather person after weather person wearing that dress, like from like all these different stations across the United States.
I think
States.
I've seen this, and it was like the type of dress that there was a sale, and it was exactly the style that like a weather person would wear on TV.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I could see that. I think they have some brands that they really love on these shows. Yeah. And it doesn't surprise me if they end up buying some of the same stuff. But, yeah, when she changed it to it, I was like, wait, because I'm currently watching Love Island All Stars, I'm pretty sure I saw, like, two women on that show wearing this exact style of bathing suit that, like, is also what Daisy is wearing. So I was like, oh, spotted it, you know?
So there's Love Island, and now there's Love Island All-Stars?
Yeah, this season of Love Island UK is an All-Stars season. It's all returnees.
Okay.
I'm mostly loving it because it is, like, people who you followed on the previous seasons, although sometimes they'll bring on somebody where I'm just like, I didn't like that person on their series.
Well, it's like Bachelor in Paradise.
Yes. So I'm just like, I don't want to see this person on All Stars because like, I didn't like them on their original. And there is one person who actually I did not like on their original series, but I actually do like on All Stars now.
Okay.
So I was like, oh, you changed my mind. That's fascinating. I didn't know that could happen. But yes, so I was fascinated by that. I also really liked when the women are hanging out back at their hotel room and waiting for the date cards. Jen was wearing this like big puffy vest. I don't know if you noticed this.
No.
And I thought it was just cute. I was like, oh, I like that vest. Should I buy
a big like puffy vest? Vests. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I was like, do I need to get an oversized puffy vest to wear now? Is that
only if you're in Jasper?
I mean, I would like to be in Jasper at some point. So yeah, I did notice that. That scene also made me laugh because that's the scene where they got the group date card, so they knew that it was going to be Kelsey A going on the second one-on-one. And Jen was really upset, and she like gets up the couch to storm off, and she like runs into Rachel's foot.
Ow.
Yes, and then they like just show like Rachel a second later after Jen storms off, being like, okay. And that one literally made me laugh out loud because her face is like, all right then.
Yeah, that was funny.
Yes, so that was an interesting scene. I thought the women's dresses at the rose ceremony were all really interesting to me because it was almost like they had coordinated that they would all be wearing these like solid colors, you know.
Interesting. Maybe.
And maybe they did. Yeah. I mean, you know, I think, you know, they have a set number of dresses, so you have whichever ones. And Maria was wearing a very expensive designer gown, actually. Hers was vintage green. Alexander McQueen. Yeah, it was a green floor length with like a drapey neckline that shows cleavage sort of thing.
Well, all of her dresses are like vintage or something, right?
Yeah, she is like somebody I think who has... This also plays into what we'll presumably see next week, some generational wealth going on at the Sprinkle Empire.
Yeah, the Sprinkle Empire.
Yeah, because a lot of her clothes are like actual designers versus what a lot of the other women wear, which might have a designer thrown in every once in a while, but are more of those like the same brands that they all love, like Fashion Nova or whatever, mm-hmm. where it's like, yeah, the ones who's coming up over and over again that reality stars all wear and like get brand deals with and stuff like that. Most of their dresses are from those versus Maria's stuff. So it is interesting to me that that's her style is a little bit different.
Yeah.
I was trying to think if any other outfits popped out to me. I liked some of Joey's like sweater cold weather outfits.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I'm with you on that.
Yeah. I was like, oh, these are just like classic, traditional, nice looking outfits, right? Like he was wearing a lot of, he kind of wears like an almost skinny jean, but it's not skin tight is his preferred style, right? That it's like, it's not like on Peter Pilot season where he always loved to wear kind of like skinny jeans and they would be like rolled up so you could see his little ankle booties. You remember? Which is funny because I watch Traitors and he's on that right now and he has the exact same fashion style as he did on his season. So that is literally what he wears. It's not like something the stylist put him in as far as I can tell. Because he still does that roll up with the little ankle boots.
Everyone's talking about Traitors.
It is really entertaining. And Peter is, he is a main character in this season. Like, he is playing the game very well, and a lot of people are surprised at how well he's doing. And there was a very funny moment in this last week's episode where another main character of the season and him are on, they're on opposite sides of an argument. And she said, "This isn't The Bachelor. I don't have to kiss your ass for a rose." And he was like, "Well, I'm offended." Yes, so it is fascinating. I mean, I would recommend getting into Traitors season one. Like, we're on season two in the US right now. Season one also had another Bachelor as a fairly main character. Ari Lyndike was on season one and had a very big storyline. But actually, Peter's is more interesting to people because Ari was fine. But he wasn't, like, doing anything particularly interesting gameplay-wise, and Peter is. So that's what he's getting.
What streaming service is it on?
Peacock.
Yes, yeah. I would actually question why anyone would have Peacock, but ice skating, right?
Yeah, because they show, that's where most of the figure skating competitions are aired now. Yeah. And also, like, gymnastics competitions are on there. So I got it for that, but then it ended up being a bonus because Traitors is on there. Murder, She Wrote has all of their seasons on Peacock. And this season of Love Island, usually Love Island was on Hulu, but they put it on Peacock for this season. Huh. Like, oh, good thing I had Peacock.
That's interesting.
Huh. Yeah, I was kind of surprised by that. I don't know if it's also going to end up on Hulu as well, but it started on Peacock as opposed to Hulu this season, at least. So I'm like, oh, thank God I already pay for Peacock for figure skating because this is really panning out for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I liked his outfits. I think he wore, on the date with Daisy when they go horseback riding, he was wearing like a very cute little flannel buttoned up as his like main outfit. And he was wearing a coat before this, and then he gave the coat to Daisy because she didn't have a coat. Did you catch that?
I did not.
I thought it was a very nice move, but they didn't show him doing it. You would only know if you saw him wearing the coat in one season, like scene on top of his flannel. And then in the next scene, when she's riding the horse, she has the coat on and he's just wearing the flannel. Right. I'm surprised they didn't show us him giving it to her because that's like a traditional gentlemanly thing to do, you know? Yeah. But maybe you know, just for time or whatever they cut it, who knows?
Yeah.
But yeah, I did think it was cute that I was like, oh, that is a cute jacket. And at first I was like, oh, that's just a nice little jacket on Daisy. And then I was like, oh, that's the jacket he was wearing earlier.
Hmm. Yeah, it is weird that they didn't show the transfer happen.
Yeah, because I feel like that would have been like a very cute scene that seems like the type of thing they would have put in there is like before they get on the horses or whatever. He's like, oh, my gosh, you didn't bring a jacket. You must be so cold. Here's mine, you know.
Right.
So although it is also weird that she didn't bring a jacket because it's Canada in the fall.
It is the Canadian Rockies. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, did you not bring like an over layer because you're gonna need it here.
Yeah.
So who knows, but yeah, I thought he had a lot of nice little sweaters and stuff. in this episode. Although I did kind of laugh at the opening scene where he's on his motorcycle. They love showing us him on his motorcycle.
Yeah.
And he was wearing little motorcycle boots with his jeans, and something about it just seemed dorky to me, and usually he doesn't have that fashion vibe. So I'm like, what are these? And then in my head I was like, why do I think it's dorky that he's wearing these motorcycle boots? He's riding a motorcycle. It's much more dangerous for him to be wearing like sneakers or something rather than boots. Of course he's wearing boots.
Well, as you can imagine, I have no opinion on motorcycle gear.
I mean, I have ridden a motorcycle. I have not been the driver. I've been the passenger. And I remember clearly thinking about the stuff where, like, obviously you want to be wearing a helmet. You'd be crazy to not wear a helmet on a motorcycle. But you want to wear full long sleeves and long pants and boots, because if you do get thrown, you want fabric covering that skin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like leather. Yeah.
Yes, leather's good. Like denim can be fine because it's another tough fabric. So like you want something that's not going to like tear easily if you're skidding across the pavement.
Oh, God. Okay. What's in there?
Which I have thought about not only because I've ridden on a motorcycle, but because one of my uncles got into a bad motorcycle accident when he was younger. And so my mom used to talk about this all the time when I was growing up.
Yeah.
Motorcycles are so dangerous. Never go on a motorcycle, like that kind of stuff.
I'm like, stay off motorcycles, man. And helicopters. Stay out of helicopters,
I
people.
I feel like I would also go in a helicopter, but it really just depends on...
Yeah.
I haven't been in one yet. The motorcycle thing, I do remember thinking the first time I rode one that I was like, my mom would be so upset with me right now.
Yeah, you were being a rebel.
I don't think I've ever told her about it, actually, because I knew that she would be, like, so mad, even though there are some things I have told her years later that I knew she would disapprove of, so I didn't tell her at the time, but I would tell her, like, 7 years later or whatever, and be like, well, it already happened, and I'm fine, so you can't be mad about it.
Okay, follow us on social media at BachelorPhD. Leave us a review on the Apple Podcast app. And we'll see you next week.
Bye.